What an honor and a privilege to be back here at New Sterling. You all make us feel so welcome, and we just are glad to be back with you again. Thank you for your warm welcome, and I don't know anywhere I'd rather be on a beautiful fall day like this today. It's just beautiful as we look outside and look around at God's creation and thank Him Amen. For His many, many blessings to us. But it is good to be back. I don't know if you know, but Marilyn and I have been all over the place lately. Just got back from Texas on Wednesday. We've been down with Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham chaplain team down there. There's a lot of devastation with Hurricane Ike, and those folks need your prayers. We have 3 mission trips planned for next year. We're going to be in Central America 3 times. And the first one's going to be in February to Belize, and some of you are going with us, I understand. And that'll make a pastor's heart proud. And we're thankful for that. It's just so wonderful to me to hear a pastor pray that the Lord would raise up missionaries out of his church. That's just an awesome prayer and an awesome hope that God will do that, and I believe he will. And for those of you who are thinking about the Lord's call upon your life, I guess we've been doing this missionary thing for 3 or 4 years now, and it almost makes me feel like I've wasted the rest of my life when I was chasing a dollar in the furniture business. And I'm thinking, you know, this doesn't matter. I know you understand you have to feed your family, you have to send them to college and all those kind of things. But our experience has been that the blessings that God has poured out on us through our brief time of doing mission-type work is just it's overwhelming. And you look at how God blesses you and he pours it out more than you can even receive. And I'm thinking, yeah, I should have heard his call a long time before I did. But anyway, I'll tell you, I'm not going to speak about missions today. I'm going to speak about the fear that's gripping our nation. But I do believe the greatest mission field today is our own country. It's our own country. As we look at what's going on around us, and we just wonder, Lord, how are you dealing with us through all this time of uncertainty? And that's what I'm going to talk about today. But before I get into the message, I'd like for you to stand with me as we read together from God's inerrant, infallible word, Psalm 56. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Let's hear together the inspired word of the living God. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Father, we thank you for your precious word today. We thank you that as we look around at what seems to be like very uncertain times and in a very uncertain world, we know that you are unchanging. And Father, we know that our future is in your hands. So without you, we have nothing. With you, we can fear nothing. So Father, thank you for your word. Bless it today as we break the bread of life. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you know that we're living today in a very uncertain time? You know, as you look around, and I was reading the paper this past week, and this phrase really jumped out at me as it was talking about the stock market and all the uncertainty there. It says, we have become gripped with fear. Are you fearful today about what's going on with your 401k or your stocks or your bank account or any of the other problems, your job security or whatever else it may be? These are very uncertain times, and I was thinking back in my lifetime, there have been a lot of uncertain times, and somehow or another, God always seems to bring us through those uncertain times. But when it comes to finances, people get very fearful as they look about what they've worked to accumulate in a lifetime and how it could be gone in a matter of weeks, just gone. It reminds me a little bit of what we see when we go to these hurricanes. Situations. We go to Katrina, we go to Hurricane Ike, and a family's whole lifetime of accomplishments and accumulations and their home and all the furnishings in it are gone. In a matter of hours, it's all gone. And they have nothing left. And we find these people to be very hopeless. We get them, we meet them, and they're at the depths of their despair. And in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about getting out of your comfort zone and ministering to people. And I'm going to tell you, I am very much out of my comfort zone when I'm walking up to a family that doesn't know where to turn. They're walking around in a house that's soaked with 8 feet of flood water. And they're walking around. They're trying to decide if there's anything in that house they can save. They look at the pictures. The first thing they look for are the pictures and the things that relate to their family. And they're going through those things, and they're wet, and the mold's already beginning to grow, and they've already forgotten about the sofa and the beds and the mattresses and the furniture that's all soaked with water and it's beginning to smell like it's the mold's growing. And, you know, it's just a hopeless situation, and I don't know what to say to a family like that. Obviously, I'm going to say, well, God loves you, and he was with you through this storm, but that family doesn't quite hear that. They're just so in despair and wondering what to do next and where to go next. And they don't really know. I can make this sermon very short today. I can say very quickly, and we'd be done, that our nation is in the shape that it's in because we've turned our back on God and we're reaping what we're sowing. And that could be the end of it. But I'll give you some reasons why I believe that we are very fearful as a people, as a nation today, and why all these things seem to be coming down on us all at once. And the first thing that comes to my mind is the war and terrorism and some of the things that have to do with the situation coming out of the Middle East. Now, all I have to do is say 9/11 or Virginia Tech, and immediately strong images are going to come to your mind. Now, we want to think that when we get on an airplane, we're going to be safe, even though I don't like to fly at all. We want to know when we get on there, we're going to arrive at our destination and nobody's going to hijack the plane and we're going to get to where we're going. Or we want to think that when we get to send our children off to college, that they're going to be safe there. But, you know, in these uncertain times, there's no guarantee that those things are going to happen. And we wonder why all these things seem to be happening now. Well, we think about the people over in Israel. They've lived with these kind of uncertainties for years, I guess throughout their history, since they were born as a nation in 1948. Suicide bombers and terrorists and all these things have been a part of their daily lives all of that time. Place on top of that the hatred that the Muslims has for the Jews and Christians. And you can see how this is a fermenting situation that's not going to be resolved until Jesus comes back. It's not. It's going to be continuous turmoil and hatred until Christ returns. Think about this also, that Iran is very close to having nuclear weapons. So you can see that the situation around Israel and the Middle East is very, very fragile and could go up at any time. And we know that World War III will happen right there around Israel. And little tiny Israel is surrounded by all these Arab nations that hate her. And so we know that all this is going to continue to ferment until finally it's going to explode. World War III will be upon us. It'll be a nuclear war. So just get ready for that. There are many health concerns that cause people to be gripped with fear today as well. All I have to do is mention to you AIDS, Ebola, bird flu, and mad cow disease, and that doesn't make you feel too comfortable. The common thread in all those diseases is that they're all fatal, and there's no cure. Think about that. We all have all these things that we deal with as far as health issues, and we're all afraid of one day hearing the C word. You got cancer. You have 6 months to live. You know, those kind of things are the things that we give us uncertainty and make us know that this life is a very temporal life and very short. And someday, you know, we will face that. The economy, that's all been in the news lately. That'll make us be uncomfortable. But the Bible tells us that in the last days, the economy is going to collapse. I want you to go home today, and I want you to go in the pantry, and I want you to find a quart jar. The Bible tells us that in the last days, the wage that you will earn for one day's work will be a quart of wheat. That's not a lot. That speaks of the scarcity of things that we can buy to live on in the last days. You've been really a little bit reacquainted with that. You've been in some gas lines lately. So, you know, these kind of things make us feel like we don't know where to turn. The scarcity of these commodities and the long lines and all these things, the loss of jobs, the home foreclosures, and all the rest that goes with an economy that's on the downside of the cycle. All these things make us feel very, very uncomfortable. Politics, I just don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go to politics. Many people, and I'm among them, believe that Washington is broken and cannot be fixed. And the reason that it cannot be fixed is because we don't have any politicians with the moral courage to take a stand and say we're going to stop spending more than we take in. As we think about the politicians we have up there, the Democrats have an answer for everything, and that is we're going to tax you more so we can spend more. The Republicans are no better. How many of you remember Newt Gingrich and the contract with America? Newt Gingrich and the Republicans says the Democrats have been in control all this time. If you will elect us, we're going to straighten this mess out. Well, I don't know how long the Republicans were in power until this last election, but during that time, the size of your government increased by 40% under the Republicans who said they were going to straighten it out. So who do you believe? There's nobody up there in Washington that you can believe. We also know that the way we're going right now, and many of you are depending on Social Security and Medicare for your advancing years. The way we're going now, there are not enough people working to support those who have retired. And so Medicare and Social Security cannot be funded very much farther down the road. So it's broken. It can't be fixed. Beyond that, our country is $9 trillion with a T. $9 trillion in debt. Now, I apologize for referring to my notes, but I'm telling you things that I don't even understand. $9 trillion in debt, and next year's budget is $3.5 trillion. And that's $400 billion more than projected revenue. So you see we're continuing down in the hole. On top of that, our leaders have bailed out the mortgage lenders to the tune of $700 billion with a B dollars. And it just makes me shake my head to wonder what these people are thinking as they continue to spend and drive us into recession. And, I don't have an answer. I really don't understand how they can govern our country and claim to be politicians, or not politicians, but people who have the nation's interests at heart. It just makes me scratch my head. And then on the other hand, we also have to consider the storms of life that come into our lives, either in the form of a hurricane or a tornado or a bad news. These storms of life are going to come. They're going to come. Jesus tells us that in the last days you will have tribulations. These things we know are coming. Storms of life may be, they are devastating. It's not that they may be, they are devastating. And when you go in and you meet a family in Biloxi, Mississippi, and all their earthly possessions are now gone, and they don't have any savings, they don't have any resources with which to rebuild, they don't know where to turn or what to do. And then the Samaritan's Purse or the volunteers from all over the country come down and help them reestablish their hope. And we do that by going in and telling them that God was with you during this storm. He was with you before it came and during the storm, and he will be with you in the recovery. And they look at you and they begin to look for the first time like, yes, they understand. There might have been a reason for this thing, even though we don't understand what it is. God will be with us during the recovery. As we think about these storms and how they come upon us, they take many varied and different forms. And sometimes it's the loss of a loved one through death. It's the loss of a loved one through divorce. It's the loss of a child. It's the loss of a job. It's the loss of whatever. I haven't had my home foreclosed on yet. But, you know, when that happens to you, you just think, God, what am I going to do now? And so as we think about the storms which come upon us day by day and to ourselves and to our neighbors, and we think about, God, I know that I cannot put my faith and my trust in any human organization or person, because every time they will let you down. Cannot do that with politicians and bankers and economists, but I believe that we can, and I know that we can put our faith and our hope and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the only answer for all these things which are coming upon us. Now, I know you're saying right now, Ken, thank you for this really uplifting and encouraging message you brought so far. But that's the bad side. Now I want to tell you the good part. There is one in whom we can put our faith and our hope. And this is every missionary's message. It doesn't matter what's happened to you in life. It doesn't matter that you were born in poverty in a third world country. There's a God who loves you, and he's sending people to help you. It doesn't matter if the bad news you've received has been about your health or that of a loved one. There is a God, and that's the mission. That's the message of every missionary. No matter where you go or where you serve or where God places you, every person that you meet needs to hear that message of encouragement. So we know that there's a God who loves us and gave himself for us, and we know that he's going to be there for us in spite of the uncertain times going on around us. And the reason we know that is because he is eternal. Psalm 90, verse 2 tells us that he is from everlasting to everlasting. He was there before the storms of life. He was there before he laid the foundations of the earth. He will be there far after he's reclaimed his church. and raptured us to heaven. He will be there because he is from everlasting to everlasting. Everything we look around our world today, very, very temporary. But everything we see in Christ is permanent and eternal. And he's unchanging. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Jesus doesn't take polls. He's the same. He's righteous. He's faithful. He's the one in which we can put our trust. And he will be there for us when the storms of life have come and when they've gone. He will still be there. And we know he's going to be there because he loves us. He is our God of love. From his birth until his coming again, everything that we see in Christ shows us agape love from the Father. And there's nothing in this world that's ever happened to you or me or anyone else that surprised him. He loved us and gave himself for us and knows what's coming tomorrow or next week or next month. And oh, our God is perfect. Psalm 18:30 says, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. The word of the Lord is proven. We know that he's faithful because we can prove it through his word. There's never been one thing in this precious word that has ever been disproven. The word of God is perfect and it's true and we can trust it. Our God is also righteous, righteous in all his ways, glorious in all his works. Righteous in all his ways, glorious in all his works. He is a righteous God, and he's a holy God, and he stands perfect. And sin cannot stand in his path, or cannot stand before him. We know that he's faithful, and we can count on him in all these tough times because he is all-powerful. We're not in this mess because he can't fix it. That's not the reason we're in this mess. We've made this mess ourselves. But he says he upholds all things by the word of his promise. He upholds all things. He upholds the stock market, the food market, every market is upheld because he allows it to be. The stars are upheld because he allows them to be by the word of his promise. He is all powerful. Also, he's all knowing. He knows our hearts, our thoughts, our needs. We don't need to know the future as long as we know that he does. And I don't know what is going to happen in the stock market. I don't know what's going to happen in the job market. I hope you didn't, none of you work for Wachovia. You know, that's a nationwide bank full of assets, full of money, and now they're no longer. You know, all these things in which we put, these earthly things in which we put faith and trust will someday pass away. It's coming. And we just know that. God knew that Wachovia was going to be sold off long before the economists did. Well, I want to tell you, this life is about loss and heartbreak. If you haven't experienced very much of that, you should thank God for that, because the rest of us have experienced much loss and heartbreak. It's just a part of this life. It's part of living. But the peace and the eternal security that he gives us can never, ever be taken away from us. You know, we might have our home foreclosed on here in where we live. But, you know, at the same time, he's building a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands for us. And we don't have to worry, not one bit, about our future because it's in his hands. There's nothing I can do to make myself better. I can work hard. I can work long hours. I can do everything humanly possible to prepare my future, but it can all be gone and changed. But I'm in his hands, and I can trust him because he's faithful. He's never once ever let me down. So I want to encourage you and close with this, that we are not at the mercy of an uncertain world. We're not. Rather, by the very sure and tender mercies of a loving God, we can live a life of security and peace and our knowledge of his love in Christ for each and every one of us. Our God is a great and awesome God. He's a powerful God, and there's nothing that's going to happen to us that didn't come by him first. So as we go through these difficult, uncertain times, just know and be assured that it's for our good. He's going to grow us through it. He's going to make us stronger through it. And he's going to work out his perfect plan in our lives, no matter what the economy or the devil sends our way. Just rest in that today, that our God is able, and he's stronger than any problem, any storm that may come into our lives.